It's Thursday, it's 9 a.m, so it's time to have the man of the minute, Mr. Martin Pepperell, on the line. Good morning, Martin.
Oh, mate, your alliteration game is getting crazier with every week.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I have to think of new things all week. I don't want to repeat myself. I'm going to run out of M words.
Just remember that repetition can be a form of change as well. That's a minimalist composer quote. I can't remember exactly who right now. Brian Eno, maybe. Hey, so, music.
Yes, tell us. What are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about old music that could also be new music. We're talking about a reissue of the debut album from an Australian trio called Hydroplane, who were active in the late 90s and early 2000s. They were an offshoot of a Melbourne band called The Cat's Meow, which has acquired a little bit of a cult reputation in indie pop and indie rock sort of circles. They were active in the early 90s, and they were in, they were in a similar sort of international scene to the scene that some of the more internationally successful music that came out of Christchurch and Dunedin at that time landed in the whole Flying Nun Expressway Records, and people releasing their own music on like cassette tapes or label cuts, doing small runs, this whole scene was very connected to this place called Ajax Records in Chicago, who had this genius idea. You know, people could get in touch with them and they could send copies of their stock through to be sold, and Ajax used to do these little photocopy catalogs where they'd have sort of sales notes, and created this whole international network, sort of like a pre-social media social media.
Mm.
Yeah, so these guys were in this whole sort of thing. And this is, I guess, the version that they were in Melbourne, in some ways, is almost like the Melbourne equivalent to what people call, like, the Flying Nun scene.
Yeah, right.
Christchurch sounds. You know, so these guys were huge admirers of the Clean. You know, they were, like, tremendously admired what Bruce Russell did with Expressway Records and the DMC. Really open-minded listeners, you know, who were just constantly, like, put it this way, that and when they were in the Cat's Meow, they'd send their music to Ajax. Ajax would sell it. And then rather than getting paid cash, they'd use the store credit to have Ajax send them other releases they liked to look at.
Okay.
They were just heads, you know. They were just always trying to find things out. And Cat's Meow made a lot of really beautiful indie pop. Get to about 96, 97, and their drummer moves to London. You know, in some cases, this could be the end of the story. But these people, and somewhere, you've probably seen a bit of this in Christchurch. Sometimes you have these scenes where everyone's playing in everybody's bands. So, you know, one person will be in about six different bands. They were in a sort of scene like that. Everyone was playing everyone. Everyone was used to adapting and collaborating. And Andrew from the Cat's Meow starts playing around with samplers and drum machines. And he'd done a bit of tape looping experimentation in the past, but he'd been hearing a lot of what people describe as early instrumental hip-hop or trip-hop, you know, in particular records from people like DJ Shadow. And he got this idea in his head, you know, maybe I could get some old breakbeats from funk records, loop them up, you know, we could play some keyboards and guitar and stuff over the top. We could hear him, who was our vocalist, you know, could sing. And they came up with this sort of breakbeat dream pop sound, and it caught the attention of some pretty awesome record labels like Drive-In, which was a cool label from America, and Duelits and Jukebox, which was a label that launched Broadcast, who we talked about recently, and also Duelits and Jukebox was quite tied up with a group called Slow Dive. They're really big in the whole shoegaze in the 90s. These guys, like, in a roundabout way, got wrapped up into the whole international dream pop world, and they connected with a couple of labels, released about three albums, but it was always more of a studio project, because by this stage of their lives, like, you know, they'd been live performers, playing in different bands and things since the late 80s, so by the time you got to the late 90s, there was less of a pressure to be out there playing gigs and doing things.
Yeah, right.
So they just like did all these beautiful studio experiments and released a bunch of really great little singles and LPs, and then quietly faded into the shadows. And in May, Australian record label Efficient Space, Melbourne-based sort of reissue archival label, is putting their first album, which is considered a bit of a classic, back out on vinyl. So I thought it'd be cool to talk about and listen to some of it. Yeah, so that's sort of about what I've got to say.
Yeah, it's a really cool song. A few of your picks recently have kind of been reissues. Is this something you see a lot of, or is it kind of a bit of a trend at the moment?
No, it happens all the time. It's been happening for decades. You know, it's been going on for like 20, 30 years. I think part of what I'd say, though, with it is one of the things with the internet is now that so much music's consumed or discovered through the internet, like, we've sort of fallen out of the clear sense of chronology that used to
define
a lot of popular and underground music. Because you think about it, you know, like, once upon a time, it was like, okay, we'll go listen to the radio, hear, like, the new releases, go to the record store, check the new releases, you know. But now there's a lot more platforms for people to just naturally discover things that they missed the first time around, or maybe never even had the opportunity to.
Yeah, right.
You know, because think about it, was if you use Spotify, you think about the Spotify algorithm. You know, if you just let it roll, or you let it just sort of make recommendations, it's like, it won't, like, just give you things that have come out that year or that month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, like, I think it's just, you know, we've got music has such a broad, rich, and deep history, and it's nice to sometimes to be able to go back and have a look at, like, what's been done that we haven't really thought about. Because I think it's very easy to visualize the history of music through the lens of the popular acts of the era.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people think about disco, they'll think of groups like Chic, you know, you go back to the 60s, and, you know, things like the Beatles, Rolling Stones, like, Jimi Hendrix 70s. There's all these, like, the big winners, you know, give people this clear idea of what the past of music is. But actually, when you look around in the nooks and the crannies, like,
yeah. There's always so much more going on.
Yeah, because, I mean, the other thing is, I mean, at the same time, so these guys are looping breakbeats to make dream pop. And then on the other side of the world, in London, people are looping breakbeats to make jungle and drum and bass. And then over in Baltimore and in America, people are looping breakbeats at a slower speed and putting 808 kick drums and charging over the top and making Baltimore sub music.
Yeah.
So it's also sometimes just nice to look at, like, the different ways that people are using the same source material in different points of time.
And you touched on it brilliantly, like, at the start when you said we're talking about old music that could be new. It does sound like it could have come out yesterday, you know?
Yeah, well, see, this is the other thing that's getting interesting with it too. Like, you know, we're sort of this idea of futurism in music. You know, future music.
Yeah.
Sort of a concept that's been kicking around probably since, like, I suppose the first time people would have said that they were making future music was probably things like Music Concrete, when they were doing early electronic music in the 1950s. You know, synthesizers turn up late 60s, and suddenly you have all this, like, jazz and funk and soul and stuff that has more of this futuristic or celestial thing. You get to the 80s, people are doing things like electro, Detroit, you know, there's always all these ideas of the future.
Yeah.
You know, we've been sort of exploring these futures for, like, half a century, maybe 70 years. And it's got to the point where, like, some stuff which is intended to sound futuristic almost sounds retro-futuristic.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, in 2022, what should future music actually sound like? Because sometimes someone will play you something that's meant to be futurist or future, but it actually sounds like the future is envisioned in the 90s or the 80s.
Yeah.
But if I was going to talk about futuristic music right now, I think probably the most futuristic music in the world probably comes out of the new generation of experimental club music producers in East Africa and China. mm-hmm. in parts of places like South Korea and Japan. There's this whole East Asian, Southeast Asian, East African network that's emerged over recent years.
Okay.
I think a lot of it's as a result of like business programs between the different countries.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's these sort of artist exchange programs and festivals and things, and these like collaboration networks going on where you get like Chinese and Kenyan like musicians like making songs together and just completely bypassing Europe or America.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. And like we do, I think, you know, in the Western world get caught up in what's Western and, you know, forget there's a whole world out there.
Oh, look, I mean, I think, like, you know, that happens to a certain extent in most countries around the world. And
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. All right.
Right, well, thank you so much, Martin. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Okay. Okay, well, you have a great long weekend, Liam.
Yeah, you too. Relax. Do something fun.
Okay, buddy. Cheers, mate.
And to our audience out there, here is New Monotonic FM from the album Hydroplane. Enjoy, guys.